Well, Razor, and what we said should be a very good week before it happened, or it had the makings of being a potentially good week for the Boston Bruins. It turns out that it is, as they go 3-1 in their last four games, wins over Ottawa, New Jersey, and Montreal. I think it's fair to say games that they should win, a loss to the Edmonton Oilers, a game that they could have won but didn't, against a good team, but something that, again, we've already touched on, but we'll touch on it again. As the Boston Bruins end the week 3-1, we welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. After a couple of days off, Razor and I are sitting our asses down and getting back at it again here. A nice weekend for everybody. Very busy hockey-wise, very busy family-wise for my friend Razor, having some Canadian paternals in town for a while. All good stuff. And this is going to be a good show. We're going to give you a half an hour of not just positive fluffy crap, but we're going to talk about a team that I think is starting to get messages. Whether that means they're still great or not, Razor, I can't tell you yet. But they're sending some messages, and I think they're trying to get it a bit. What it all means, my friend, in the end, who the hell knows?
Well, that's the beauty of the game, and that's the beauty of the season. But to that point, I agree that they're trending, and they're the culture of this team, the core of this team, the leadership of this team, including the coaching staff, understand and they get it, and that is a reason that's worth a few wins throughout this season. And you see it against these poor teams; they will beat up on most of them throughout the season.
Slow start, though, to the Montreal game. Mm-hmm. A pretty good game overall against New Jersey on the road, against a team that I'll call them up and coming. I don't know if they're there just yet. Now, granted, they're missing Miles Wood and they're missing Jack Hughes from the New Jersey Devils. Mm-hmm. And those are, my eyes, players that, especially Miles Wood, does damage against the Bruins, especially with the system, Razor, that Lindy Ruff and his staff have implemented there, where they're very aggressive in transition. They use what's called a box in one in their own zone. They accelerate out. I love it. I think it's a great way for teams to play. Doesn't always perfect, but it sure puts teams back on their heels at times. But the Bruins, and by the way, I was surprised that Mackenzie Blackwood didn't play in that game against the Bruins, given Mackenzie's dominance more or less in the last two seasons against the Bruins. But they find a way to play a nice game there on the road. Yes, the big guns, continue to score, but they get some other, other guys involved too. And that's a common theme for this team in general. It's still too reliant, and I'll jump right to that right now, but it's still too reliant on Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand. But are we finally, whether it's, a Coyle, a McAvoy that we saw on Sunday night putting in goals, a Foligno, maybe not scoring, but putting his big body in front of the net. Are we? Hall on Saturday. I still need more out of him, though, man. I still do. I'm happy that he scored, but I need to see. I think Tomáš Hnízdil has outplayed him significantly early on. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think the expectation, if Halla has two more goals, he missed the breakaway in Florida, he hit a post the next night. If he has three goals, I'm not sure if we're saying the same thing. I think it's more production based with Halla. If he doesn't produce, then you can say that. Nosek's an easier, he's got an easier job in the fact that he can just play steady Eddie on that fourth line. But
I just seem to notice him more. I just seem to notice Nosek more. I think it's the eye test. You and I love to talk eye test. Mm-hmm. I thought early on Halla was doing his job. Maybe he got so frustrated that he didn't score and it wore on him so much. And we can't get inside players' heads because we can't sit down with guys where we have honest conversations and you look into their eyes, so to speak, and you say, "How you doing?" And we don't have that. And I think that that's something that I guess I shouldn't forget. We don't know. Maybe it was weighing on him so much being a new player in a new town.
Well, I think that's kind of where I'm going with, for him personally, Nosek cannot score and feel like he's getting stuff done. Where Halla is a little bit different. He's getting paid a little bit more money, a little bit more pressure on that third line, technically center position. Mm-hmm. So I go to that a little bit. Not having Smith, but he, all the way back, secondary scoring, I couldn't agree more. Even if it's an empty netter from DeBrusk, even if it's an empty netter from Hall, that starts to create confidence. You see Coyle goes off his face and in the net. If they, that's how, those are the chip-ins they need. The Sunday night, I think, like, this is a perfect, this weekend was a perfect microcosm of that secondary scoring being good. Even though it was the first line that drove it on Saturday afternoon, the second line got their goals Sunday night. Mm-hmm. The top line still needs to score every game. They do. For this team to win, they have to score. The power play has to score on a very, very consistent basis. And you look around the league, if those other guys can score, it's not, they don't need 30 goals from everyone else. They need 15 or 20.
Yeah. Well,
and that, the D-man that helps too this week. Forbert scores, McAvoy with a couple. Those guys chipping in, that takes some pressure off the second and third line as well, as when the D starts getting in the mix.
I say, you know, it was a dominant performance from Charlie McAvoy, but the reason I'm saying it was dominant on Sunday evening is because he scored two. Whereas I really thought about it early this Monday morning, I said, you know, we've seen him actually dominate games more, but just didn't score the goal. Like that second goal, yeah. I love it because it was a thing. It was a shot. Yes, it gets deflected off of, I believe it was Dvorak's stick. Mm-hmm. Charlie doesn't do that enough. He just does. McAvoy doesn't do that. But I guess if your name is Charlie, you're on the board. Everybody. You don't shoot enough.
Everybody.
You just don't, you know, those two.
No, and it's funny. Just to add to that quickly, just jump in on Charlie, is right before that goal, I in and out the first period, second period, third period I'm watching, and right before they open it up, I'm thinking they don't get any easy goals.
They don't.
They don't get any easy goals like that goal McAvoy off of Dvorak's stick. They don't get those. They don't. They haven't got any Charlie Coyles off the face because they don't go to the net and they don't earn it and they don't shoot it enough. They try and make plays too often. And I think, hopefully, I know we got 7 days off to get back to it, but hopefully they keep watching that third period and those last goals on how to score in this National League. You need easy ones like that on a more consistent basis.
People in the media world, hockey world, call it puck luck. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. You make your own puck luck. Of course, yes, you get. Look, they had a goal go in off of Connor Clifton's right skate, but it was because Montreal Canadiens got the puck in transition, got into the ozone, got to the net, and they forced the Bruins defender to turn his back to his goalie, which is fine, but he's not looking for the puck at all. He's got no idea where it is because he's looking to front his guy, and it goes off his heel and into the net. That's one of those goals that the Bruins need more of. Yep. Absolutely need more of. And they got him, which was nice. I do think it's not coincidental that they're starting to get their backside to the net more with Nick Foligno in the lineup. I think he took it upon himself. We showed it in between. Actually, I think we showed it post-game, but it was in the second period, early third, where he got second period, where he drove the net before Charlie's goal.
Scored.
McAvoy's goal. He drove the net with the sole purpose of being in the area. And, you know, it's a veteran guy. He completely gets it. Can he do it all year? I sure as shit hope so. I really do. But, you know, but he thrives in that environment, you know? I mean, meaning the front net, understanding his role. So if the Bruins can do more of that, they will be better off. You bring up the power play. They now have power play goals. 6 of their last 7 games. So that's got to give people a little bit more pause for a little calmness, a little bit, because that wasn't doing shit for a while, right? The first 5 games or so, 6 games, It was at 1 or 2 power play goals. That was it. So now that's got to make you feel better. But you bring up the point, Razor, about the top line is going to still have to drive this team. That concerns me. That doesn't mean I don't think that they shouldn't still be the top line. I want them to do that. But have to do it and able to do it are two different things. We have seen the last couple of years after 2019 that if they have to, that this team will not go far if they make the playoffs. And so the question then becomes is, you know, can Taylor Hall, who's been better, right? He's been a little better the last couple of games. Charlie Coyle's still been consistent, but we go back to the Howlas, the No Smith, the Brusque, et cetera. Can you see this concoction getting it together? It's an unfair question 12 or 13 games in, 13 games into the season. But have you seen enough of this sample size that they can do it?
Yeah, I'm confident that they'll figure it out. Yeah, I think they move along. I think you look at Edmonton. for instance, and they don't have anything behind those guys. I mean, watching them down low Thursday night, you know, that's the extreme of carrying the team. Mm-hmm. I think you look at a Florida and Carolina, a little more balanced, a little bit more of where the Bruins need to get to. But I think that it's more of a work in progress, but I do believe that they're going to get there. I think that all of the players that we're talking about are good enough, are smart enough, are talented enough to figure out what they need to do. And I keep going back to, it's still early and it's 82 games and they're coming off a weird year and a half of their life. Like it is more of a progress, more of a progression this year than what we've seen prior to COVID.
Fair enough. But the old eye test, the eye test doesn't always see clear.
Well, what's the expectation, I guess? Is it first in the conference or is it getting the playoffs? I think they get in the playoffs, and I think then who knows? You know, everyone's on different pages with expectations on this team. Like to say these guys go to the second round, is that a bad year or is that okay?
Well, you're in Boston. Yeah. And it's okay, I think, to people here. It's mm-hmm. okay because God bless the Boston sport fan who I love to death and always have. And again, I grew up, even though I grew up in Chicago, I grew up the biggest Boston sports fan in Chicago. Trust me. I had every Bruin. I had a Red Sox jersey. I didn't have a Patriot jersey. I had a Patriot t-shirt.
Yeah, because knew who the Patriots were. You didn't even know where they played back then.
Well, John Hanna, Steve Tom Grogan. Yeah. I remember them. Dwight, or, oh my God, I'm forgetting the tight end.
My wife's from Foxborough. She didn't even know where the stadium was.
But I did like the bet, but and I love when I grew up, the Celtic basketball generation was. I mean, my favorite Celtic until the Bird era was Tiny Archibald. I mean, I loved him. I wanted to be Tiny. I was Tiny Archibald. I was playing in my driveway in Chicago suburbs. I was Tiny Archibald. Listen, the Boston sports fan, they don't know pain. They have no idea what a bad year is, right? And since 2000 on, I'm saying. They
That's
just
right.
don't.
This generation. Two generations.
We're talking 20 years now. So, yes, I'm with you. Look, I said at the beginning of the season, they get into the playoffs. That's what I thought. Now, I mean, it's not too early, but it's way too early to look at the standings. Florida is at 23. Toronto's at 21. Detroit's at 18. I think Detroit will come back to the pack. Detroit's also played three more games. After that, it's Boston to slide into. That third spot in the Atlantic Division. They're right behind Tampa, who's played the same amount of games. Tampa has one more point than the Bees do. But in theory, the Bruins could jump into the playoffs if they win their games in hand. I just look at it, and I still say the Metropolitan is going to get – I think they get five teams this year, bud. I do. I think the Met does, which makes it harder. That means the Bruins are going to have to get into that third spot. I know we got a long way to go, but I think – some of the things the Bruins did in this game on Sunday night said, whoa, like starting Swayman again. We need this game. We want to get Linus going, but we need this game. So we're going to play Swayman again. And rightfully so. I love the move. I'm assuming you like that move too on back-to-back.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I think.
You didn't love it.
Well,
no, I love it.
I'm fine with it. I'm just saying, I just look at the, if I'm, sitting, being very, I mean, Linus has had the much tougher starts the last 2 weeks than Swayman. Swayman getting mm-hmm. Ottawa, New Jersey. You put, I'm watching Linus up close against Edmonton. I don't know what he does to make that game different than what he did. He's in Toronto. He gets a tough start in Toronto. So I'm just saying, and I get what they're doing with Swayman. They're working mm-hmm. him into easier situations is all I'm saying. So I'm fine with it. They win. I think they win if Linus is. I think they've won because of their play. I don't think it's been a goaltending issue one way or the other. I think they've won or lost because of how they've played in front of their goaltenders. That's all.
Okay.
I got to watch the game against New Jersey and say, oh, so Linus wouldn't have won that game. Like, I'm still not watching these games and saying Swayman is so much better that he's winning and Linus is losing.
Agree. And going back to that Edmonton game, I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was great again.
He was awesome in the first period. I mean, it could have been much worse early on.
Right. So, but when it comes down to it, And I, Bruce, you know, Butch after the game said it was a feel thing. And I think that's what this team needs right now is that feel thing to get – it's having a feel to your team is also starting – I think helps to form an identity a little bit. I do because you feel about what they are, what they should be. And I think that's all right. And by the way, I had no issue with them sitting Mike Riley the last couple of games. I didn't. I have not been – He was great the first game. I've not been enamored with him regularly in this season yet.
Well, I like that move. Instead of always being, you know, always being a Connor Clifton issue, you know, buzz somebody else's tower. And Riley's an easy, at this point, has been very easy. Because the other thing is, too, is we talk about how they play, how each defensive. If Zboro plays well, he does have the potential. He's very similar to Riley, but he's a first-round pick. He has potential to be better than Riley offensively. Mm. He has potential to – so I think that makes more sense because the issue is when we've talked about it is, okay, you take Zboro – you put Zboro in, you take Clifton out, you lose so much physicality there. Where if you put Zboro in instead of Riley, maybe you do gain something with an upside in talent.
And you gain another. Well, it seems like Bruce and the assistants put him Zboro out with Charlie McAvoy a bit too in the game. So not that they didn't do it with Riley, but not as much. I didn't feel like they did as much. So maybe you do gain some more offense because you're trusting him to be out there with that, and then that way you leave Grizz with Carlo more. I still say the D needs some work. That's a common theme. For the season, I think they're going to need something. What exactly that is, I don't know. But I like the moves. I think that the statement had to be made. I think that the sense of, you know, we're not just going to, because you signed a new free agent contract, you're going to get 3 years, you know, 3 years and $9 million that you're just going to be able to be okay. It was interesting. Both Clifton and Zboro in the game made mistakes based on being aggressive, trying to be physically. Now, Cliffy is much more physical. Zboro tried to step up before that second goal, the Montreal second goal in the neutral zone or just inside his own zone for a big hit, which isn't really his game. I think he was trying to do it just to say, oh man, I could really show myself well here. And it's a green light situation in the D-man's head. But in reality, it's wait, if I miss him, my team's totally exposed. Back here, and he did, and we talked about it. What I liked about it, Razor, is he responded. He responded from that. He played well after that.
Yeah, that's what I. Again, you want young guys to do. I want that. I want that out of Studnicka. When he gets in the lineup, I want him to go try and drill somebody, get in on the forecheck, do something more than just play, than just not make a mistake. So I'm okay with Zboro making mistakes like that. It's the ones that for Zboro, it's the lazy offensive ones that are the issues. It's not the hard, aggressive defensive plays. If he makes mistakes there, he can correct those.
Right. I mean, you can correct it. You expose your team, but you can learn from that one there. Let's touch on the top line. I'm trying to pull up the numbers. It's ridiculous. The last 5-6 games, what they've been doing. You know, everybody said, I'm kidding here, I'm being facetious, that Bergeron was done.
Yeah.
I know we touched on that in our last show or two shows ago. All he's done since then is put up 6 goals and I think it was in 6 points. So 6 goals and 6 assists. I mean, so 12 points in something like 6 or 7 games. You know, I think the most encouraging thing for me about the top line's performance the last couple of games has been the Pastrnak engagement. The physical play, more tenacious on puck battles, shots are getting on net more, doesn't look frustrated, and doesn't look to be overthinking as much. So as I look at all the points that are happening, and Bergeron and Marchand leading the way in that regard, and Marchand is still the engine that drives that line. As we like to say, Bergeron is the central nervous system and Pastrnak is kind of the hands and feet, so to speak, you know, what he is and the razzle dazzle. But I'm happy that David's engagement level is higher, much higher.
It seems much higher. And to that point, what they're doing and how they're producing, they can do that every night. They're not doing, to your point, the razzle dazzle. It's not the Harlem Globetrotters how they're getting points right now. They're doing it with hard work. They're putting pucks on net. They're rebound goals. They're chipping it in. They're random tips, the random backhand goals from Patrice. There's nothing that they are doing that says they can't do that on a consistent basis. And again, puck's going to go in some nights and it's not going to go in other nights, but they're not, it's not five passes before each of these goals. They're just playing hard and putting pucks on net. So that's what's positive to me, is that David Coyle's goal. Pasternak, we've seen him miss that, the one that went off his face. We've seen him miss that shot numerous times this season, but instead he just gets it, puts it right in the middle of the net, but it causes a rebound, which we haven't seen a lot of that from David. And I think that's encouraging as well.
The most wonderful form of hockey, whether you're playing at the, you know, peewee minor or major level or the NHL level, is when you're efficient and you play fast. I mean, I love fast hockey, but efficient hockey, which means driving lanes, winning puck battles, putting pucks on net. It's all the hockey cliches, I guess, but I think with all the overskilledness, that's a term that we have now in the hockey world, because everybody has a skills coach at 3 years old on, if they're going to make it to the NHL or the PW or the Premier Hockey League now, that's what it's called, if they're going to make it to either one, is that they want to skill their way to the net. Screw that. Will your way to the net. And that's what the Bruins have to do. And I thought Patrice Bergeron was asked, and it may have been by Sophia, and if it wasn't, forgive me, whoever asked him. But he was asked the other day about finding the identity of the team. And did he feel that they were there? It was Sophia. And did they start to feel that – was he starting to feel that they maybe did? And what, if so, what could you identify it as? And he called it, we have to be a hard skill team. I would rather him say that than be a skilled, hard play against you. I want a hard team to play against that has some skill. Because truly that's what it is. And, you know, Howell is fast. I wouldn't say he's got oodles. He's got skill, of course. He's got skill. You know what I mean.
Yeah, NHL. Yeah.
But he's got to play. Foligno, got to play straight line. Coyle, straight line. As much skill as Hall can have, he's a power player that has to get out of the perimeter areas and into the interior. Get out of the exterior, get to the interior. Nosek, same thing. Even DeBrusk. DeBrusk has got soft hands in certain places, but not until he gets his ass to the middle of the ice. So long way of saying that they have got to be that, those, like you said, get it, shoot it, attack it. Do that. They want to do the fancy stuff. They won't make the playoffs, Razor, because they don't have enough skill throughout the line, especially with help from the back end.
That's the issue. They don't have enough on the back end to be a completely skilled team. To be able to be a pure finesse skilled team, you need four guys on the back end making plays razzle dazzle on a consistent basis, and that they don't have. So you have to be a hard skilled team.
Yeah. A few kudos to a few players. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and we'll take five questions that we put out there into the Twitter world. And
good response today. Quick, good response on a Monday.
Who comes out? Let's play this game. Craig Smith, nagging injury. He's out. By the way, that's a question that I think we also got. So whoever asked that, we're just addressing this right now. I think it was a smart move to not play Craig Smith the last couple of games. You know he's battling something. Now he's got another 5 days off before playing against, in theory, against playing Philly. Is that a Carson Kuhlman or is that an Oscar Steen? I liked what I saw from Steen, outside of the fact that he needs to develop more man strength, NHL strength, because he gets bumped off the puck. I like his skill, speaking of skill, and I like his speed. I do. I like his agility type speed that he has there. Is it Kuhlman or is it Steen that comes out, you think, if Craig Smith comes back?
Well, I guess I'd like to. I want more Steen. I'm with you at that point. And I also go to the fact that he can score in the minors, and I'm not sure that Kuhlman can do that either. I think to that point, you need to have a little bit more scoring threat down at the bottom with the way this lineup sets up. And And I'll also go, I leave Smith out if you have to for another, you know, as long as possible. This nagging thing, you could, I saw it down low on the ice. I could see him the way when he opens up his hips, he was struggling with that.
Doesn't have power coming to accelerate.
No.
Straight line, it's okay, but yeah. I'm with you.
As soon as he's turning in the middle and opening, he's grimacing and it's clunky. And so some kind of a core issue, obviously, to me. And
dude, we are seeing so many of the oblique core injuries this year, oftentimes without contact either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These bodies are breaking down.
They're breaking down. There's been so much going on. And this is one where, like, you don't want him managing that all year. You can afford to keep him out. You know, this is the only rest they're going to get now. This is the end of the rest. Take full advantage of it. If you have to keep him out through the Thanksgiving weekend, I'm okay with that too.
Just to give fans, if they don't have the schedule in front of them, just to give them an update what the Bruins schedule looks like. Starting on Saturday, they have Philadelphia, then home on Sunday against Calgary. 2 days off on the road to Buffalo. And then they've got the 1 o'clock, not 3:30 anymore, the 1 o'clock afternoon game on ABC now, not ESPN Plus. Holy smokes, was ESPN going to take crap if they did that? On ESPN at 1 o'clock on Thanksgiving. So you got four games coming up starting on Saturday at Philadelphia, 7 o'clock game there. And then it's not every other day, but it's close to it.
It's
a lot
normal.
Of games. Yeah, it's normal, right? A lot of games happening. All right, I want to give kudos to Anton Bleed. Somebody lit a fire under his ass before the Montreal game, or actually more than anything, the second and third period. But I thought he was also good in first, and I thought he was okay against New Jersey. I have not noticed him much when he's played previously. I haven't been wowed. But without Trent Frederick, he's got an opportunity to be the guy that he says that he is. You know, he's an agitator, et cetera. I haven't seen nearly enough agitation out of him until the last weekend, in particular, the Montreal game. Now, Montreal might not be the meanest team to do that against, but at least he did it. And I thought he played straight line good hockey, Razor. So I think that helps make your bottom six much better, having a guy that can play 11 minutes like that.
That's right, and it's the energy, it's the being able to create momentum or continue momentum, however the game's going, from that bottom six, and that's the name of the game for these guys. And again, I think that hasn't helped. I think, you know, we've seen a few guys in the lineup struggle down there to do that, and these two guys have got a really good opportunity. We keep talking this organization's given a lot of opportunity in the last 18 months to guys, and no one's really seized it yet, in my opinion. None of these guys have really made themselves
absolutely full-timers. Correct.
And so I think it's about time. It really is, because it's happening on all other organizations around the league. Guys are making themselves NHLers, and these guys haven't. None of them. Right from Stunica to Kuhlman to Bleed to Steen, they have opportunity. They need to do it. This team needs them, one or two of these guys, to make themselves NHLers.
Especially given that this team is veteran heavy. There's no question. And this team, this organization will not survive well if some of these young players. And that, by the way, also falls on management with regard to, you know, signing free agents and drafting players too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cumulative effect or cumulative concern, I guess. They need to, you're absolutely right. You need two of these guys. You need one of Bleed and Frederick.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, you know, the team would love it to be Freddie. They'd like it to be both, but Freddie, because he's a former first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they need a Steen or a Kuhlman or somebody. I mean, they need a Craig Smith, even though he's a free agent. I know he's established. I'm saying him to really shine too. Those type of players when he comes back in. All right, let's take a couple of questions here. I said we would take five of the best. And that's going to be hard because there's a lot of questions that it came in. Here's one. And then I think we just need to talk about it because we touched on it, but we'll talk about it more. This is from Chris Boll or Bolle. So B-O-L-L-E. Chris asks, should Tukaras come back and resign in the new year? How do you foresee the Bruins goalie situation playing out for the rest of the season? Juggling essentially three NHL caliber goalies on the team. They wouldn't trade any of those three guys, would they? Question mark. I think it's important to talk about because I wanted to ask you about it too, because while I understand that Swayman can go down, I get that. And we've talked about it here on our show, Razor. If he's playing better than Ullmark, if or when they sign Tuukka Rask, what does that do to the psyche of the team if they still send him down? Because that's the easiest. Because I don't know how much you can keep three guys up.
Well, yeah, no. That question still revolves around Tuukka and what your plan is for Tuukka. Is Tuukka your starting goalie? Then you look at it that way. If he isn't your starting goalie, then you do possibly keep three guys. And similar to the Jaro Halak situation last year, you have Swayman there and he's playing games. And so it's more a matter of how much is Tuukka going to play if he signs, when he signs, whether you keep three guys or two guys. The longer Swayman plays well, the harder it is to send him down, no matter what.
If you had your skates in that situation, you know, if you were a guy that, and I know it depends on what part of your point of your career you're at. I'm guessing that's part of the answer, but let's just pretend you're playing regularly. You're one of the guys and everything. And they said, well, we're going to bring back, you know, so-and-so. Is it even possible to give me an answer how you think you would feel about that, knowing that three NHL caliber guys were around?
I got to imagine I'd be pretty annoyed. And that being said, I don't know what the conversation was in the summer, because this has been holding. This had to have been talked about. And I've said this before. This whole situation has had to have been talked about a little bit, because Tuukka's been hanging over this the entire offseason. And he's still been there in that whole conversation. So I'm sure they've had talk about this, but there's no question. You saw how annoyed Jaro Halak was last season at the end. And it's a similar situation. When you have three guys, there's one guy that's really annoyed no matter what the situation is.
Yeah. It's never good to have an annoyed athlete. It's never good, especially to have an annoyed goalkeeper. You guys are messed up enough as it is.
Exactly.
Essex County asked, if you could pluck any active defenseman from any team in the league and add to the Bruins back end, who would it be? Not beholden to salary or assets, just in terms of fit, who out there is a quote unquote Bruins D? Well, this is the way I look at it. I'm going left shot no matter what. I'm going big and I'm going a strong defenseman, left shot. I mean, if I can have anybody, I'm taking Victor Hedman for my team. I'm taking Victor Hedman.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that's, you know, and it's not that Makar isn't great. I mean, I Jacob Slavin, but I'm taking Victor Hedman. If assets and whatever, you want a Bruins defenseman? I want a left shot Bruins D. Happens to wear the number 77 as well. He's a Bruins D in my book, Razor. What about
you? Oh, yeah. I mean, I would go to that name at 10 out of 10, no matter what team I am. I'm taking Hedman. I think he's the best. I know Fox has got the Norris and Makar and these young guys, but if you want to win a championship, you look at Victor Hedman, and that's a big reason why. And he's the modern day Zdeno Chara.
Yeah. All right. Lewis Foreman asks, our buddy Lewis, Lewis Prod, P-R-O-D, at Lewis Prod. Is DeBrusque a lost cause? He glides back on defense, isn't getting his nose dirty on the offensive boards. I'll tell you what, when he got put down the other night, you could tell that he was not confident. You could see it in his face sitting on the bench. You could see it in his eyes. You could. He started great. He gets an empty netter then the other day too. Does that help? Yeah, I mean, I don't remember his minutes against Montreal. I'll pull that up while I talk for a minute here. But I mean, is he a lost cause, Razor, in your book? Are we seeing the, we want to make it work, we hope it works, but is it going to work? Are we at that point yet?
Lost cause seems really strong, but I know what he's coming from. Again, my issue is to that point where there's sometimes when it feels like he's waiting for bad things to happen still. It just feels like you watch him, and when he gets put on the fourth line, you see that, like, that confidence goes down. It's almost like he was waiting for it to happen rather than not just playing and getting on this horse and doing the little things. So I'm more concerned than I was at the start of the season. I thought he was really going to break out. I thought he had a good start, but there's still a lot of inconsistencies. And I also recognize, and I think we should all recognize, how short of a fuse this coaching staff has for inconsistency. And there's some places where they would go with the flow with that and understand and manage it the way they could. But this group doesn't do that. They don't manage inconsistent from anybody. It just has to be done this certain way.
Well, I'm going to say, though, with regard to Jake, I think the one thing he's been consistent with, my friend, is his inconsistency. And I think that's why they can't manage it that much anymore.
And
so I think that his inconsistency is a lot of his doing. And I think I think they're just saying, look, we've had you more than a couple of years now. This isn't 1 or 2 years. By the way, he had over 13 minutes and he had 5 shots in the game against the Montreal Canadiens. I don't think he's a lost cause yet, but he's the player. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give it 20 games. And if it's not there, then I'm like, okay, maybe it's time to go do something with it. I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm, as a person, I love the kid. I love him. I do. Mike Boston, it looks like quadruple sevens or maybe even more than that, asked, do you think Forbert is showing improvement? He says, I do. Okay. I think Forbert, I actually didn't love some of his game against Montreal, Mike and Razor. But he's the guy, he's the old guy. If you don't notice him, you know what I mean? He's doing his job. Mm-hmm. I don't think I noticed him against New Jersey. Sometimes my brain goes out. I think that when it's all said and done, Forbert, it's a lame answer. I think he is what he is, right?
It's like that. I was going to say, this is what he is. Listen, these 10 games, 12 games, whatever, this is what you're going to get from him. He's pretty steady 90% of the time. He's going to do something wrong. He's going to pinch at the wrong time every once in a while, but he's going to also drive the net and make a nice play. He drove the net on Montreal last, like, really nice play from the right wing. He scored on the left side against Ottawa. He's going to do some good things. He's going to do a few bad things, but mostly you're just going to not notice him out there, and that's okay too.
Right.
He's not Victor Hedman. He never was. He never was heralded by us, certainly, to be that. He's a good defenseman on your team, but he can't be. He's not the number two guy.
No. And then the last question that we have of our five before we kind of wrap things up. By the way, we got to do the spark of the game. I screwed up and bring it. So think about that for a second. But I got two questions via Twitter here regarding the suit I wore last night. One wants to know, Nucky McAvoy, where's the suit from? It is from Baines and Baker, because I got it via the NHL Network, 2 years ago, which works really well into what Michael, at Welshins 85, Michael Welshins asks, do I get to expense that jacket? Which it's a suit. People thought it was a sport coat. No, that's a full suit of that pattern. And do I get to expense it? You know, years ago, I asked my accountant at the time, can I expense my suits? Like, because I don't wear them really for anything else. And one was, they talked about it. And then I think when they said, when it's all said and done, is it worth it? Because the IRS, and I hate to be serious about this, but I've actually looked into it. Because the IRS, I guess there's cases that have been both for and against it. I guess there've been cases in the back where they're like, you have to prove that you never wear that suit anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And if
get
you don't,
the wedding pictures out, get the wedding
exactly.
Pictures
out. Hey, look at this. That's one of my favorite suits. I do love that one. I do like my clothes. I think you know that, Razor. I do. There's a few things in life that I'll spend time and money on, food and clothes. Are the two of them. Yeah, I guess. All right. The spark of the game. What, anything that jumps out at you from, and by the way, because we've got a couple of games you can pick. You can pick a game, I guess, New Jersey or Montreal, the latest one. I've got one for Montreal. Do you have one or anything that jumps out?
I mean, we kind of touched on all the things. I think for me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, even though he's not on pace for 50 goals, I think that David Pastrnak improvement certainly this weekend, that encouraged the him shooting pucks. For me, that's the spark, because I think that gets the other two guys going on the top line. So I'll take that from Jersey, him being engaged. And I, typically, I'm not giving David awards, sparks awards for something not goals, but but in this case, it's baby steps, and I think it's been encouraging to see that from him.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm gonna give the spark. It's not so much of the game, but I'll talk about Nick Foligno being a spark. Uncle Nick, you know, that he was put on that line, the second line, to try and be not try. He's more vocal, but to try and bring more vocalness from the others, to bring them into the battle, so to speak. And he's done his job, and he's getting on the power play the last couple of games in the middle net, the net front has been a spark, I think, too, winning puck battles both in Saturday's game against New Jersey and Sunday against the Montreal Canadiens. So we'll give him the spark of the game. As always, the Sparks game is brought to you by Sparks Skate Sharpener. Use Morning Brew at checkout, one word, you know, in the code area there, and you'll get free shipping on the products that you end up buying. The great product. Jake had me sharpen his skates twice in the last 3 days with it. Just two glides each time, two passes, clean, smooth. It is so simple to use, consistent at all the times. Use that same technology that over 25 teams in the NHL are using right now. It's the Sparks Skate Sharpener. It is literally the perfect holiday gift for any hockey playing skating family out there. So go 100%. Check out
Santa Sparks. Be cranking those out. Should be anyways.
By the way, I know our buddy Steve Jones over there has told me they are so prepared for the holidays. So prepared. They have thousands in stock, and oftentimes they are shipping same day. So even if they get an order late in the day, they are still able to get it out that night. So
go
check out the Sparks Skate Sharpener. All right, Razor, that's going to wrap it up. When do you want to do the next show, bud? I want to do another show this week, if only just to keep it going. I know we got a game on Saturday, but we're not going to do a show until post hockey game, until after, I think it's after Sunday night.
Sunday night, yeah.
So you want to do it either Thursday or Friday? You want to try and sit down and, yep, and do one?
I'm here. It works for me. Crank out a bunch of questions from Twitter again.
Yeah, maybe we can get a guest too. Maybe we can bring somebody in a guest. Around. Maybe somebody and have somebody come in. All right, that's going to wrap up Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Bruins win over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. They've won three of their last four. I'm sorry that they've got 5 days off in between games. Nobody likes the schedule. It is what it is. We'll deal with it. You deal with it. Have a wonderful couple of days. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And as always, stay enjoying that wonderful coffee.